भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 28 एवं जनम निपतितम प्रभवाहि कूपे कामाभिकामम अनुया प्रपतन प्रसंगात् कृत्वात्मसात् सुरसीन भगवान् गृहीता सोहम कथम नु विसृजे तव भृत्य सेवम् एवं जनम निपतितं प्रभवाहि कूपे कामाभिकाममनुया प्रपतन प्रसंगा कृत्वात्मसात् सुरसीन भगवन् गृहीता सोहम कथम नु विसृजे तव भृत्य सेवम् Mataji's, please. Evam, thus, janam, people in general, nipatitam, fallen, prabhava, of material existence, ahikupe, in a blind well full of snakes, kama abhikamam, desiring the sense objects, anu, following, ya, the person who, prapatan, falling down in this condition, prasangad, because of bad association, or increased association with material desires, kritva atmasat, causing me to acquire spiritual qualities like himself, Sri Narada, Sura Rishina, by the great saintly person, Narada, Bhagavan, O my Lord, Grihita, accepted, Sa, that person, Aham, I, Katham, how, Nu, indeed, Visrije, can give up, Tava, your, Vrittya Sevam, the service of your pure devotee. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Purport. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanivas, janame janame hoi e abilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Gopi Bartu, Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore he said, Soham katatam nu visrije tava brutya sevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master Narada Muni. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle Shrimate Deva Amrita Swamini Tinamini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisaisha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deistarani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita the same thing. Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. That we are Krishna's eternal part and parcel, but we have fallen down from this exalted service to Krishna, and we are struggling hard in this material existence. So coming to this world means fall down. Krishna also explains in the Gita that A Brahma Bhuna Loka Punar Avartin Arjuna. That doesn't matter if we fall from Vaikuntha to the position of a Brahma or to the position of an ant. No matter who we are in this world, we are suffering. As soon as we accept a material body, then the suffering begins. And as soon as we are born, we are actually put into the bodily concept by our parents and relatives, and then we are given a name, and then we are sent to school. And this is, Prahlad Maharaj calls it as following the general populace. And Prabhupada gives so many brilliant examples to show how, just blindly following the public is not a very intelligent thing. Prabhupada gives the example of this conspiracy. There were a group of friends, and they all got together, and they decided to tease one of their friends. And they said, okay, today all of us will get together, and when this such and such friend comes to see us, we'll just call him a ghost. So this friend came, this guy came, and one of them said, "Oh, you become a ghost." He didn't take it seriously, hearing first time. He's like, "What do you mean ghost?" He just kept going. And then he came across the second friend, and the second friend also screamed, "Oh, ghost, ghost." And then he's like, "What are they talking about? What do you mean? What do they call me ghost?" And then he came across third friend, and the "Hey, ghost, ghost, ghost." And then he start to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Why everybody's calling me ghost? It's like one person is okay, two person, three in a row. And then further he went on, everybody kept calling ghost, and he really freaked out. He said, "Maybe I've become a ghost." So like that, as soon as we're born, everybody treats us like we are the body. You know this famous saying that 7 billion people can be wrong, So we hear it enough times that we start to think we are the body. And Prabhupada also explains, and people are so enthusiastic that we actually believe them, that they may be right. Like Prabhupada gives the example of this British comedian, Max Linden. He was actually going to a ballroom dance, this Max Linden. It's a very funny guy. And he sat down in a park bench on the way to the ballroom dance, and some naughty kids actually nailed his coat to the park bench. And then when he stood up, the coat tore. And then he realized, you know, he's like exposed, his backside is showing, and he cannot really go to a dance like this. But being so smart, he said, let me do something. So he went inside the, you know, dance floor, and he started dancing so enthusiastically with a big smile on his face. And first everybody was like confused, like, why has he come like this? But seeing his enthusiasm and happiness, Prabhupada explains how they actually went to the bathroom, and respectable gentlemen, they started tearing their coats. And they were coming back, and then he was nodding and approving, yes, you've done the right thing, come on in, now you have the proper dress. And they all started dancing. So first they put us in the bodily concept, and with their enthusiasm, they actually convince us that this is the right thing to do, to be on the bodily concept. And Prabhupada also gives this example of this Sargol Singh, to show how nobody questions. Very few people actually question anything, use their intelligence. It's like this shopkeeper, this old man, he was running this little grocery store, and this military man went to buy some boga, and he saw this shopkeeper with a shaved head and black clothes. So this military man asked this shopkeeper, like, why are you wearing black, like dark clothes and shaved head? And the shopkeeper said, oh, you did not know, Sargol Singh is dead. And the military man, he didn't want it to come across like, you know, he's a fool. So he's like, oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. So he also went and shaved his head and put on dark clothes, and all his military camp, everybody's asking, what happened? Why you dressed like this? Why you shaved your head? Oh, Sargol Singh is dead, and that's why I'm dressed like this. So everybody shaved their head and put on black clothes, and the whole army is marching. And the head of the army, the guy who trains all these guys, is asking, why is everybody dressed like this? And in unison, they all said, oh, you did not know Sargol Singh is dead. So the head also shaved his head and put on black clothes and went to the king. And the king asked, why are you dressed like this? Oh, I'm very sorry to tell you, my lord, that, you know, Sargol Singh is dead. The king was the first one to ask this million-dollar question, like, you know, who is this Sargol Singh? Oh, I don't know. I'll find out. I'll get back to you. So he goes to the friends, and who is Sargol Singh? Oh, we don't know. And the guy goes back to the shopkeeper and says, who is Sargol Singh? Why are you dressed like this? Our, you know, king wants to know. Oh, Sargol Singh is my donkey. He gave me faithful service for so many years, recently passed away. So we don't question anymore whether life is real or not. The question is if it's cool or not. So this is the position that we are in bodily concept, listening to all kinds of false propaganda and rumors, and this is what's going on. So many distractions. Everything but Krishna Maya is like working overtime in Kali Yuga, just distracting us from all directions. North Korea is going to bomb us, whether the bomb will reach California or we'll just go to like Guam and Hawaii, and now that's over. Now Boston bombings, and then the Boston bombing, whether it's a conspiracy done by the FBI, and now everybody's eager to hear the suspect speak from his lotus mouth the reality, what really went on, and he's not able to speak, so he's going to write down all these things that happened. So many distractions, everything except what we should be finding out, namely Krishna Katha. And the final distraction is, of course, death. and then again we start all over again. Therefore, a devotee is very, very careful about his association, like Prabhupada says. We have to be the association. We shouldn't take the association from the materialist. Even innocently, we start, you know, giving oral reception to what's going in the world, we affect it. Therefore, we shouldn't depend on this bad association, or we shouldn't rely on our imperfect mental and sensual experience to be able to see what's really going on in this world. Experience is not the best teacher. It says that there is a saying, actually, experience is the best teacher, but we forget the next part of the saying, which goes that, but a fool learns no other way. If experience were to be the best teacher, then the whole world will be self-realized. Just look at our, you know, ancestors and leaders and friends and society, how intelligent they are. Everybody has copious amount of experience, but they just working hard, paying bills and listening to some rumors. So here the secret, Prabhupada says, the secret is given. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Krishna says, Pavitram Idam Uttamam. That this knowledge is very confidential. It's the topmost secret. But Prabhupada is saying here in this verse, how this is the secret of success in spiritual life. That we have to hear from the spiritual master, from the devotees and Krishna himself. And this is the process of success, this is the path of success. And even when Krishna comes to this world, he accepts this path. Yad yad acharati srestas tat tat evetaro jana. Sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartati. Even Krishna says, you know, whatever a great action a great man does, everybody will follow. So Krishna accepts a spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted a spiritual master and considered himself to be a fool in front of his spiritual master. Guru more murka deki karila sasan. So this is the process to accept a bona fide spiritual master and become his servant. It's amazing. I was counting in this purport, Prabhupada says this 11 times, that we should become the servant of our spiritual master and not directly try to serve Krishna 11 times. If something is stressed 3 times, it's considered important. What to speak of 11 times? It's like when I was reading first these books, you know, I realized how Prabhupada repeats the same thing again and again and again. So I asked my guru, like, why is Prabhupada saying the same thing again and again and again? My Guru Maharaj said, still you don't get it. It's true, we hear again and again, but it's just like, he also said how, you know, between the right ear and left ear, there's this thing called the brain. So we should be able to catch it, not just go in one ear and come out the other. So the secret of success is that we become the property of our spiritual master, and in his service we offer whatever we have. And if we do that, then we will be recognized by Krishna. And of course there are so many spiritual masters. There are so many kinds of spiritual masters. It's not like just we will just listen to our initiating guru and everybody else. We don't listen. There are so many gurus. It's actually said that the God brothers of our spiritual master, they're as good as our spiritual masters. There's Siksha gurus, there's Diksha guru, there's Vatma Pratiksha guru. So we have to be respectful and serve all the Vaishnavas, not just limit to my guru and that's it. And that's also another kind of illusion. So if we become the property of our spiritual master and Vaishnavas, and we offer whatever little bit we have, in Kali Yuga we have nothing going, But whatever we have a little bit, if we give that to Krishna and Vaishnavas, we are successful. There's an example in these teachings, in these pastimes of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya actually visited one of his disciples, and this couple was so poor, they were so poor that so much so this Mataji had all torn clothes. There were actually more holes in her sari than there was sari. So much so, she couldn't even open the door to receive her guru because, you know, she was embarrassed. And Ramanujacharya actually gave his chadar to her so she can actually dress properly and open the door. And then, even though she was so poor, like she wanted to actually serve her guru so nicely and all the god brothers that's visiting. So she was in so much anxiety, she was actually praying to the Lord for some inspiration. What am I going to do? Then she remembered how there was this shopkeeper, he was actually very, very lusty after her. So she actually went to the shopkeeper and said, you know, I know you're so lusty after me, but please give me all this bhoga because my spiritual master and my god brothers are visiting. I will come tonight and actually I will please you. She took all these ingredients, went home and made this really, really amazing feast. And the husband came and he was surprised to see her like cooking. He asked, where did you get all this from? And she actually explained the truth. You know, this is what I did. Please forgive me. And the husband actually gave her obeisances saying, you are way more advanced devotee than me. So they actually cooked a big feast and they fed Ramanujacharya. And after Ramanujacharya ate, she actually took some of the remnants. And she went to this shopkeeper and said, I'm here to please you, but you please take this prasadam first. So as soon as he took the prasadam of this great saint, his heart changed and he started crying in ecstasy and started calling her his spiritual master. And he started serving both this couple as their guru and offered all his wealth. And it's also explained how Ramanujacharya was preaching Krishna consciousness so enthusiastically, and there was this fanatic Hindu king, Kulatunga, and he was completely convinced that, you know, Lord Shiva is the supreme. So he wanted to destroy Ramanujacharya, so he sent the guards, and his disciple Koresh actually begged his Guru Maharaj, you please accept these clothes of the Grihastha and you escape through the back route. I will accept your saffron clothes and I will go to the court and I will deal with this king. You don't waste your time. So Koresh went in the role of Ramanujacharya, and the king was so insulted by the knowledge Koresh was arguing with that he ordered that Koresh be killed, thinking he was Ramanujacharya. And the guards actually took him into a forest to kill him, but the guards saw how great of a devotee he was, so they were not able to kill him. So they just decided to like pluck his eyes out. So they plucked his eye, they poked his eyes out. And Koresh, even though it's so painful, he was actually praying with his folded palm saying, thank you so much, thank you so much. And the guards were like bewildered, what's he thanking us for? He said, this is such an exalted service I'm offering on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And then Ramanujacharya was so pleased, he actually gave Koresh this mantra and he told him, you please go to this Varadaraj deity and you sing these prayers and the Lord will ask him what you want and tell him you want your eyes back. And Koresh went and sang in front of the deity, and the deity spoke. He said, what do you want? He said, please forgive that king that caused me all this pain and suffering. And he came back, he was still blind, and his guru was upset. So why did you do? You know, you're so puffed up, you think, you know, you've lost something that belongs to me. You're the property of your spiritual master, and you've lost your eyes, but you're so puffed up, you don't want to get it back. So go again, pray like this. He chastised. So again he went and prayed and the Lord spoke and he said, you know, I actually lost the property of my spiritual master, namely my eyes. So please give me my eyes back so I can be engaged in His service. So many examples. Narottam Das Thakur was actually secretly serving Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami would go every day to respond to the nature, and Narottam Das Thakur would go and clean after him, his urine and stool. So after a whole year, Lokanath Goswami was wondering, who is doing this every day? So he was hiding and watching, and he saw how, without expecting any recognition, Narottam Das was Thakur was served. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how Ishwara Puri was serving his spiritual master so nicely. He was serving Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri actually blessed him so much so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead became his disciple. On the other hand, it's explained how Ramchandra Puri, the god brother of Ishwara Puri, was so offensive to his spiritual master and Vaishnavas, he actually fell down. So the process in all sampradayas, in all religions, this idea is there that we can never approach God directly. Krishna is too big for us and we are insignificant. It's just like if you go up to like a multi-millionaire and try to give him a little candy, you know, he's not impressed. But if you give it to his child, the child will take it. And just by doing so, the rich man is pleased. Similarly, when we try to offer our services to Krishna, Krishna is too big and what can we offer to him? The source of everything. But if you offer to the spiritual master kindly accepts this service and offers it to Krishna. This is the process. This is the secret of success. Daityanam prallavadosmi, Krishna says. Krishna explains in the opulence of the Absolute, how He is present. You can see Him through different ways. And of the daityas, among the demons, Krishna explains that He is Prahlad. And Prabhupada explains that how Prahlad, even though he's Shakti Avesh Avatar, he doesn't say that, oh, now I'm so competent to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. No, he says, I have so many duties, but my first duty is to serve the Supreme, my spiritual master first. It's not like, you know, Vedas and, you know, the gurus are telling us that this, you know, we have to neglect our duties. But we have to do this as our first duty to serve the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master has given us this supreme wealth. Supreme gift. And it's explained, usually when you have a treasure, it's actually covered by, protected by four walls. And the four walls are these regulative principles: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And the system is, you don't just inherit your father's property, at least in India it's like this, I don't know in America, but in India, you don't just inherit your father's property, you also inherit his debt. So, we have given this jewel of Krishna consciousness. Along with this comes the debt that we have to share this with others. And by doing so, it's also very pleasing to Krishna. Just like in the pastime of Vasudevdat prayed to Lord Chaitanya, it's just the karma that's separating the living entities from you. Please transfer all the karma on my head and I'm willing to go to hell eternally. And please liberate all living entities, not just human beings. Cockroaches, rats, bats, you name it. Let them all go back to you and let me stay in hell for their karma. And by this attitude, Lord Chaitanya said, I'm actually Vasudev Dutt's property. He can sell me in the marketplace if he wants. And even a dog from the village of Vasudev Dutt is actually very dear to me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the same thing, Gopi Bhartu Padakamaliyo Dasa 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 Anudas. Not directly approaching the Lord, hundreds and hundreds of times a servant. Like Uddhava. Uddhava, you know, was a close associate of Krishna, but he was praying, please let me take birth as a blade of grass, just in the outskirts of Vrindavan, where the gopis one day will accidentally actually step on my head. Of course, gopis are so humble and chaste that they will never accept, never allow me to touch their feet. Only way to get their dust is let me become a blade of grass in the outskirts of Vrindavan. Same thing, King Kulashekar was also praying. He was praying to Lord Balaji, please make me a step, one of the steps in your temple where your devotees will actually step on me while they're praying to you. That way I will get their dust on my head. And Prabhupada concludes the teachings by saying, Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati gutop. Who is a greater example of this verse than Prabhupada? By pleasing the spiritual master, we please Krishna. And if we fail to please the spiritual master and devotees, that's the sign that we fail to please Krishna. So, we hear these things again and again, but it's never enough because the tendency is we forget, we get covered over. And we start dealing with devotees in a harsh way, in a neglectful way, then we lose taste for chanting. And we have to come back another lifetime to perfect. So we have to be conscious and mindful of this all the time. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Mm-hmm. So your question is how he got the mercy?
Yeah, in other words, I'm just trying to put it in a current chronology of he got the mercy, nobody was questioning that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember the number of years. I don't think it's specifically mentioned in the pages of Bhagavatam. Is it, Darshita Prabhu? It just... Yeah, one sec. So, yeah, he got the mercy of his spiritual master in the womb of his mother, Kayadu, while she was serving Narada Muni. She was in anxiety about her husband coming back and she's being pregnant and all that, but the child within the womb heard the teachings and got the mercy that way. But I don't know the exact time frame, how long he was in the womb of his mother. But it was something unusual then. It's not like 10 months our time. Oh, we don't have to be, it's not like we have to be born once. The soul is eternal. And you either take birth again to spread Krishna's teachings, or you take birth again because you have not perfected your life yet. So you keep coming back till, you know, you attain perfection. Huh? Yeah, the proof is, it's mentioned in the teachings by Krishna.
So, what if we have different ideas that maybe our spirit is our one birth in life, and our spirit
Yeah, we may wish, we may desire so many things, but you know, it doesn't work exactly like that, because Krishna has designed the way things work. It's just like when you're living in Los Angeles, you may have so many ideas, but we just have to follow the system that's already set. We cannot make a new law. Yeah, we may have ideas, but you know, we have to. We are actually insignificant part of Krishna, so we have to just be submissive to the system that Krishna has created. We're not powerful enough. Like we read in this pastime of Hiranyakashipu, he was so powerful, but still he just died, you can see in that painting.
I see that. I know the story very well. I've been born with the story all my life. Shukadeva is one of my favorite deities, the entities of Krishna's being, of the eternal soul that lives forever in the Shukadeva. Similarly, as he is in the wall right now, he can count the penalty for being wrong. But he's so humble and so compassionate that he waits for Prahlad's call of me.
Okay. We can discuss. I don't want to hold up everybody's time for breakfast. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Thank you.